Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
How many of you are excited tonight? Amen. What a beautiful evening to celebrate Jesus. I am very excited to come and speak at LMC. I believe God is going to do amazing things tonight, and we're going to have a wonderful time in His presence. Amen. This day has been an amazing day, where we have seen amazing miracles. I just arrived from a service on the other side of town. We were in Albion. If you're familiar with that area, that's close to the airport. And I was there preaching at a Vietnamese church, a Vietnamese and also English-speaking meeting. So we had a wonderful time. And a guy who came with a fracture, terrible fracture in his knee, God touched him, healed him. He had basically bone to bone. He had nothing, no cartilage left, no tissue left. And he started, you know, jumping and running around the building. And he's like, look, I can do all these things. And we're like, praise God, you know. Isn't that awesome when you see God at work? And tonight we're going to see those miracles, amen? So just be expectant, because the Holy Spirit is in this place. And when God is in the house, anything can happen. So turn to your neighbor and give your neighbor a big smile. Let your neighbor know God is in the house, so anything can happen. Let your neighbor know with a Colgate smile. Let your neighbor know with a Colgate smile. God is in the house, anything can happen. And I'm very honored to be here at LMC. Thank you for the invitation. And thank you for coming tonight. I believe God is going to bless you. He's going to bless you. And you won't be disappointed. Greetings and regards from my wife, Rebecca, who is a fellow Aussie. She was born in Perth. And that's where I met her. We actually met a few years ago in Perth. I was doing a conference. And she was one of the ushers in the meeting, and she happened to be in charge of the guest room, you know, and the green room, VIP, whatever you want to call it. So she was in charge of serving water to the speakers, and she had been assigned to me, and and it was love at first sight for her. No, I'm kidding. You know, sometimes women get these messages from heaven a lot sooner than we men. And she started praying for me, and it took almost a year, and she prayed for about a year, and she would drop messages, and she would, you know, say, hello, how are you doing, and what's the weather like in Florida? At that point, I was living in Miami, and I would just have a short reply, very holy and short, hot, you know. Or I'm doing well, or things are going well. I just didn't want to bother with dating, and I never dated anyone at that point. I was full on preaching the gospel, traveling the world. I just didn't have time, you know. And my prayer was, God, the day I meet the person who I'm going to marry, you're going to have to confirm that, and it's going to have to be very clear, plain clear. Because it's going to have to be like a supernatural visitation, you know? Like an angel coming down from heaven saying, that's going to be your wife. Kind of, you know? Because I was just sold out preaching the gospel. I've been preaching the gospel since I was 11 years old. You know, I started back in my home country, Costa Rica. And I started doing crusades at the age of 11, 12. At the age of 14, I was already doing crusades in front of 20, 30,000 people, leading thousands of people to the Lord. Because of my testimony, how God, you know, just started using me. He healed me at the age of 8 of cancer. So you can see that He's taken me on a journey around the world. And so by this point, I'm like preaching, traveling, doing all these things. And then Rebecca comes into my life, you know. But a year later, it was amazing because, you know, she had been praying for about a year. And then it was almost like God just switched something. Like He just turned the switch on. You know what I'm saying? He just put that desire in my heart to just go and talk to her. And so I at the end of the meeting, I kind of approached her. And, you know, I was a bit nervous and all of that. I had never done this before. So it's like, how do you do it? You know? And so I approached her, and I just, we had tea, you know, tea and biscuits. That's what I love about, you know, what I love about Aussie churches is you guys have tea and biscuits at the end of every meeting. And I love that. I love the coffee. In fact, I went to a church one time, and they had a coffee break right in between two services. They had a coffee break, and people went out and, you know, had their coffee and would come back in and resume their worship. So I call that worshiping God with coffee. Isn't that awesome? You know, you have your cup of coffee and tea, and they're worshiping. Anyway, so I didn't grab her number, but I didn't dare, right? But my friend who was coordinating that tour was one of her best friends. So my friend said, oh, I kind of feel like you're, you kind of seem weird, you know? You kind of, you were talking to Rebecca, and I saw you, and I think you two can make a really nice couple. I'm like, yeah, be quiet. I'm not interested in that, you know? And it's like, oh, but you should call her. And so he gives me her phone number, and I'm in Singapore, and Rebecca's name just doesn't leave my mind. You know what I'm saying? And her face doesn't leave my mind, and I'm realizing, oh, this is dangerous, you know? I'm falling in love, or I don't know what to call it. So, and I'm like, I was not quite sure. I'm like, what's going on? I had never felt this way before, never. So it's like, okay. So I'm in Singapore, I'm preaching, and I rang Rebecca just to say hello, right? And her dad picked up the phone, and I immediately hang up. And so I call again, and this time it was Rebecca. So we chatted for about an hour, and, you know, we got to know each other. We became really good Skype friends. Thank God for Skype, you know. I always say that. Thank God for Skype. And so we became really good friends, 4 months talking over Skype. And then we actually courted for 3 years. It was a long-distance relationship, but I believe in those. Hello? And if you're like, do you think God can use long-distance relationships, I'm telling you, they work as long as God is in that relationship. Amen? So if you haven't met someone in your life, don't get desperate. Let God choose the right person for you. Amen? I also have the anointing to marry people, so come in and I'll lay hands on you, and we'll pray for you, and God can, you know, He can do miracles. Hello? Amen? No, I'm serious. I took this Polish evangelist. He was single, and I took him to Ecuador, and I introduced him to the pastor's daughter, and they madly fell in love, and they got married a few months later. So I'm serious. I'm serious. I have that anointing among many other anointings. Hallelujah. Anyway, so we got married around June 25th. Let me not forget this. This is my anniversary date. So June 25th, 2011. That's when we got married. And we've been married now for 7 years. Praise God. So we've been married. And we have 2 girls. And our first daughter, Kariel, she was actually born here in Melbourne. We lived in Victoria for 3 years. Before we went to Perth for a year. And now the Lord will call us back to America. And we've been in Orlando. We lived in Dallas for some time, and now we've been in Orlando for almost 7 months, enjoying the Florida weather, and just based there temporarily. We know that it is a season, and we're excited for what God is doing in Australia. Australia is the southland of the Holy Spirit. Australia has a legacy, and no matter what you hear in the news, that legacy is going to carry on the prophetic destiny that God has for this nation. Come on, somebody. God has given Australia a legacy. And the first time God spoke to me about Australia was in 2007. And I was in one of the Lakeland revival meetings, and I saw a vision of the map of Australia. And I saw this map. Basically, it was set on fire, and the map was not consuming. And the Lord showed me small pictures of every city, every state, and crowds, small and large crowds. And I saw gatherings, and God spoke to me about the Southland of the Holy Spirit. He said, this is the Southland of the Holy Spirit, and I am coming to visit Australia very soon. Isn't that awesome? God has given Australia a very powerful legacy. Australia is a Christian nation. Oh, you're not too excited about that. I said, Australia is a Christian nation. Australia is a Christian nation. And you got to embrace that legacy. And you're going to embrace your inheritance, because that's the legacy God has given this nation. The first time, and this is prophetic, because you know, how many of you know that God, when God gives you a destiny, he will confirm it over and over and over. And you will know it in your spirit. And you know, when I was 8 years old, I was given this koala teddy bear, you know? And I remember having revival meetings with this koala teddy bear. I used to have revival meetings with my teddy bears and with my toys, and I used to line them up and just pray for them and knock them down. So I used to have revival meetings with the toys, you know? And my parents saw that. They were concerned about me, and even my teacher was concerned about me. She was deeply troubled. She wrote a note in my book, and I was so afraid, terrified to show my mom my book, because I thought, you know, I thought, have I misbehaved? What did I do wrong? And so one time my mom opens the book, and she's like, what did you do? What's wrong? And I'm like, nothing. What do you mean? And she's like, well, it says that we need to take you somewhere. And so they took me to a psychologist. And so I went to see this guy who happens to be atheist, right? So I'm sitting with this guy, engaging in this conversation, and he's trying to analyze me, and I start preaching the gospel to him. So it is the best 3 hours of my life. I'm preaching to this atheist. I'm telling him about God. I'm you know, telling him how God healed me of cancer at the age of 8, and how God, you know, has done amazing things in my life. And then he finally quits talking and grabs the phone and calls my mom and says, come and grab your child, please. And then at the end he says, actually, he doesn't need any help. You guys need to come and see me later on. He's all right. He's got a destiny in his life. He's got a special vocation. You guys just need to support him. But I went to see this psychologist. My teachers couldn't understand. You know, they thought that something wrong had happened to me, that I was, you know, that I was, you know, I was, I've been a radical, or I was probably watching too many Christian movies, or, you know, I was in a secular school. I was preaching to the kids, and during a school recess, I would go and sit alone and pray, and they thought I was talking by myself. But the worst, something that they couldn't understand, is that I used to line up the pencils and preach to the pencils. Now that took my preaching to another level, you know. So I was passionate for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I used to go into the neighborhood, around the neighborhood, and pass out tracts and give people literature. And my dad happened to have a bar. He was not only alcoholic, but he was the owner of a bar across the street. And so I used to go into his bar, sneak in, and write my own Christian literature. You know, I used to write it on serviettes and put a bunch of them in my pocket. And I went around 9 p.m. and went into the bar. I wasn't allowed to go in, but I would go and go around and give the napkins and tell people Jesus loves you. And some of them will look at it, read, and say, thank you, brother, you know. And they will ditch it. And some of them would be upset and like, don't preach to me. And one day my dad caught me. He said, what are you doing here? You're going to shut down my business if you keep doing this. What he didn't know is that mom and I actually were praying for the Lord to shut down his business. So he had no idea what we were praying about, you know. We were actually waking up every morning and going around the property, anointing the property with oil, because, you know, this property was causing my family headaches. My parents were fighting like cats and dogs. My dad was not just an alcoholic. I mean, he would be wasted sometimes for a weekend, you know, for a few days. So it was causing a lot of issues. And I hated alcohol. I hated the beers. I hated the whiskey bottles. And I used to go into the fridge and grab them and empty them. And he will be like searching for the bottles everywhere. Like, where's my bottle? Where's my beer? I'm like, I shouldn't say anything, you know. And I never said anything, but I actually emptied them all the time. I went into the fridge and I grabbed them and emptied them, because I just didn't want to see my dad being destroyed by alcohol. My parents were on the point of divorce when I was 7 years old. My mom had a radical encounter with Christ when she was in a very, very difficult, dark time. She was almost you know, she was oppressed and she was going to commit suicide. And Jesus walked into the room and you know, she was listening to some, she wanted to listen to some secular music. She had the tablets and the water and she had prepared everything. She was going to commit suicide. You know, that many people, all they think is that they're just going to close a chapter. They're just going to close their eyes and life is over. And they think that that's the easiest solution to deal with problems. Well, that was my mom. She just wanted to disappear. She had had enough. She was fed up with my dad and the alcohol issue and everything else. And so she wanted to die that morning. But let me tell you something. Jesus walked into the room and she was actually led by the Spirit. And I believe it was by the Spirit. It was she felt like a hand touched her hand and redirected her. While she was looking for a secular station, she ended up listening to a Christian station. And there was a preacher talking about God's love. And in that moment, she broke in tears and she got saved in her living room. Come on, church. See, God is a God of destiny. Come on, church. God is a God of destiny. And no matter what you're going through, God knows. He's got a plan for your life. Amen. So I'm going to open my Bible in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse. We're going to read from verse 2, actually. Chapter 2, verse 2. My name is Alejandro Arias. Say it. There you go. You got it now. Not Alejandro, not Alejandro. Alejandro. There you go. Now you can say it. And I'm sure you've heard that name before. They made a song about me. Not too proud about that song, actually. One time I went to Aruba and the immigration officer looked at my passport and she started singing the song. Like, do you know this song? You're popular. Like, no, I have no idea who wrote this song, but I don't care about this song. Can I get in? So anyways, Acts chapter 2 verse 2 says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. When the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Isn't that awesome? The sound of heaven. That's going to be the title of my message tonight. The sound of heaven. You know that words are powerful. Words contain sound. You know that even your body has sounds. This world is filled with sound. God created this whole universe with the sound of his words. The moment he said, let there be light. What was that? That was a word. That was a confession. And that was a sound. And that sound carried so much power and authority and carried so much, you know, and it carried the supernatural creative power of God. And that sound started creating things. That sound created the universe. That sound created the oceans. That sound created heaven and earth. Amen. That sound created us. So everything we see around us has a sound. In fact, they've done a scientific study where they reckon that the planets have sounds. We have sounds, and I can hear my sound, especially when I get really hungry. I hear my tummy rumbling. I hear that sound. It's very loud. Hello? Sometimes when you're fasting, you hear that sound. You hear the sound of your heart. Doctors hear the sound of people's hearts. You know, sound, we have sound in us. When we worship, there is a sound. Where we sing, there is a sound. You know, we are surrounded by sound. And our words come with a sound. Now, the problem is, if we don't use our words properly, the enemy is going to get a hold of that sound. The enemy is no respecter of person. And the enemy doesn't play fair. See, your words are meant to bless people. Your words are meant to edify, to build, to restore, to heal. Your words are meant to do good. Your words are meant to always, you know, be, your words are always meant to build and help people. But sometimes we use our words in a way that we shouldn't be using our words. And the enemy gets a hold of those words, and those words become destructive. How many of you know that the words can be more powerful than a punch in the face? Words can carry more force and more pain than if someone bits you out in the street. It doesn't matter how, you know, how bad it was. Words are so powerful that they actually, they get stuck in your heart. They get stuck in your mind. They get stuck in your emotional being. They get stuck in your soul. That's why you haven't been able, if you haven't gone through inner healing, and if your dad spoke something over your life, and if your dad said, oh, you will be this and you will be that and you will never be good enough. Those words have been stuck in your spirit for a long time. And that's why every time you try to do something, you try to prove wrong your dad, because you want to get rid of those words. Those words have never left you. They keep repeating. They keep playing. It's like a bad track that keeps playing itself, and you keep hearing it, and you want to get rid of it, but you don't know how. Well, I have good news for you. The only one who can heal the sound of those words is the Word of God. The only one who can heal your heart is Jesus. The only one who can heal your soul is Jesus. And words can carry a lot of power. And they can do damage. You know, sometimes, remember that saying that we need to connect our mouth with our brain? Hello, how many of you have heard that saying before? Connect your mouth with your brain. See, we men use our words and we think that, oh yeah, I just said that, I didn't mean it, I'll just shut that door and forget about it, bury it, that's it, move on. Hello, I don't remember about it. But women on the other end, they do remember those words. And those words will be remembered for years unless the Lord heals them. Hello? So I know, because I've been married 7 years, and words are powerful in marriage. And if you say something you didn't mean, you may think, oh, I forgot about it. But someone is going to remember, and they're going to come back to you and say, oh, remember that? A few years ago, you told me this. And I'm like, honey, but I thought, you know, we had already talked about that. And I thought we were good. But the enemy will always keep playing the same tune. Hello? The enemy will always keep playing the same words in your mind to make you feel guilty and miserable, because that's the enemy's game. He wants to keep you down. He wants to keep you depressed and oppressed. He wants to knock you down. But greater is the one who is in you than the one who is in this world. Come on, church. So those words must be removed from your heart and your spirit. And how do you do that? The only way you do that is by surrendering your heart to Jesus. Surrendering your soul, your emotions, your everything. God, I give you my everything. And no matter how many bad words and curses and confessions and evil words were spoken into my life, I surrender my life. And I know you can heal all the words that have been spoken into my life. You know, I mean, we men tend to put things in compartments. And I heard this from another preacher. And it's so true. We have boxes. We have compartments. We go into a box, you know. We actually have a box called the nothing box. Have you heard about the nothing box? You know, when we watch the news and our spouses come and they ask us, honey, what are you doing? Nothing. Oh, when you're reading the newspaper and they ask you, what are you doing? Nothing. Or what are you thinking? Nothing. And my wife, one time, she asked me, she said, what are you thinking? You seem kind of pensive. You seem like you're going, like you're thinking about something. I'm like, I'm not thinking about anything. She's like, that cannot be possible. You got to be thinking about something. I'm like, no, I'm in my nothing box. Hello? And men go into that nothing box very, very frequently. In fact, more often than any other person, than children or youth or women, they go into that nothing box and they remain in that nothing box
unless the Holy Spirit comes and wakes you up and revives you, you get out of that nothing box and then you start doing something. But that nothing box is very popular. But you know, sometimes we speak words that we don't mean and we lock them in a box and we think they're forgotten. We think that the wind will just carry them away and they will just be gone. And it didn't matter if we hurt people, if we offended people, and if we upset people, we think that those words are going to be forgotten. Let me tell you something. There is someone who doesn't play fair, and it's called the devil. And the devil is always going to wait for you to speak something that you didn't mean, you didn't intend, you didn't want to say, but the devil is going to get a hold of those words and he's going to take them as property of his, and he's going to use that to oppress you and oppress your family. So we got to be careful with our confessions, because whatever we say, that's how we are going to live. Whatever we speak, that's how we are going to see the world. Whatever we speak, that's our reality. What is in our heart will come out of our mouth. And so we need to be careful with our confessions, because the enemy is waiting for you to say something foolish so that he can get a hold of that word, so that he can sow seeds of anger and pain in your kids, in your family, in your spouse. There is power in the blood of Jesus. I said there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. So even though the enemy has taken advantage of those words, my friend, when you surrender to God, there is healing in his presence. There is healing in his presence. And no matter how offended you are, how upset you are, how depressed, how, you know, hurt and wounded, and you think, I will never be able to forgive my spouse, or I will never be able to forgive my father, or I will never be able to forgive my mother for what she said or he said. Doesn't matter what happened in the past. When you come into the presence of God and you have an encounter with the God of the sound, the God of the words, the God of the words of life, your life will be turned around. You will be changed. And every word that was spoken over your life will be reset. It will be gone. It will be removed. And you will no longer carry that pain in your heart. Come on, church. Is it possible to live pain-free? Is it possible to walk in freedom? Is it possible to walk in healing? Is it possible to leave pain free? Yes, it is. But you need the Holy Spirit, because those words are going to hunt you down. The sound of your words. You know, when if I say hello, my hello didn't just fall to the ground. My hello travels. The sound travels. Hello? Isn't that awesome? That the sound of your words travel. And the enemy, because he's not sitting around just, you know, playing nice. He's not nice to you, by the way. He's not your friend. He doesn't care. He wants to see you knocked down. He enjoys when you are oppressed, when you are discouraged. He enjoys when you're doing nothing, when you're just wasting time and you are living in regret and living in pain, and you are all constantly being reminded of the words that someone spoke over your life. He rejoices when you are, you know, meditating in those words. He rejoices because he's using one of his most powerful weapons, which is guilt. Guilt and pain. He will always try to inflict guilt and pain. But greater is the one who is in us. Come on, church. Greater is the one who overcame death, sickness. Greater is the one who died on the cross and shed his blood so that we can have eternal life. Come on, church. Greater is the one who can give us hope, eternal hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Greater is the one who has baptized us with the Holy Spirit so that we know how to walk in power. You know, our words must be words of love, words of edification, words of inspiration, words, uplifting words. You know, sometimes when you are driving, especially if you're driving on Springville Road or one of these roads in Melbourne that are chaotic, you know, sometimes you're going to want to forget that you're a Christian. Hello. And you're not going to use your words in a very nice way. You're going to be like, you know, like, my father-in-law has created all these words that are not swearing words. They're not supposed to swear at someone, but they're like funny, and they have like this sarcasm, and they're like, instead of swear words, he uses these words to replace the swear words. So it works for him, you know? like, you know, you this and you that. And, you know, your words are powerful. And so, especially when you are having a bad day and you're driving and everybody's doing, you know, oh yeah, they're doing just silly things around the road. You know, how many of you know that around 5 o'clock when people want to get home, they just do silly things? Hello? It's the silly hour. Have you ever driven around the silly hour where people just do silly things? And you're like, oh my goodness, I never saw that coming. Oh my goodness, he cut me off. Oh my goodness, he almost hit my car. Oh my goodness, why is this going on? You know, when we lived in Dallas, around 5 o'clock, people didn't do silly things. They did crazy things. They did radical things. They would just come up to your car and honk. If you were going too slow, they will honk you the horn and they will like cut you off and they wouldn't give you any time to react. And you know, Rebecca and I will be looking at each other. Did you see that? I'm like, yeah, I just saw that, but I didn't have time to react because it would be so radical and aggressive and bang fast and, you know, not polite. They're very polite outside of the freeway, but when they're driving, they're not polite. You know, and I saw that in Dallas, and we were like, wow, we better be careful driving here, because they don't drive 100 k's an hour. They drive almost 130 k's an hour. I mean, they're driving fast, and if you are in their way and you don't get out of their way, you better get out of their way. Hello? But I've seen people swearing their heads off. I've seen people losing their cool. I've seen people rolling down the windows and swearing and just doing silly things and using their words to curse someone. You know, when people curse me on the road, I just bless them. Hello? Do you do the same thing? You're like, oh, I wish I can do that. Hello? I just bless them. You just gotta bless them. Hello? What else? What else are you gonna do? Curse them back? No, because we can. We have the Holy Spirit. Amen? So the Bible says, don't, you know, love your enemies. So if someone is swearing at me and they're giving me the face and sometimes they give me the finger, now I'm telling you how I'm driving, huh? I'm telling you how my drive is, you know? I'm not radical, but I'm not that slow, but, you know, some people, they don't have patience. We live in a world where people are always running in their adrenaline, coming back from their job. They're frustrated. They don't want to go to work. They're not living their dream. So they're frustrated and angry. They're upset. Their families are broken. Families are being broken by all these problems in society that we have. We're living in an immoral, godless world. But let me tell you something. We have the remedy to make people's lives different. We can make people's day. We can bring happiness. We can bring joy. We can use our words to bless people. Come on, church. We can use our words to inspire people. We can use our words to encourage people. We can use our words to lift them up. We can use our words to make their day. You know, when you go to the bank, and it's, you know, I call it the allergic reaction to the anointing. I have seen people react, you know, like when you, especially you go to the post office and they're in a rush and they don't want to help you. And you're like, can I have more information? They're like, no, you know, they're kind of giving you the look like, get lost. I don't want to talk to you and I don't have time for you. And you're kind of like pushing on, like trying to press in and get some information. And they don't give you any information. And then you just smile, you know, what can you do? Hello? I call it reaction, allergic reaction. When people, they just get mad at you, they just turn nasty at you, and you're like, but I haven't done anything. But they just carry so much anger and so much hopelessness in their heart. They don't have Jesus. Now imagine if you didn't have Jesus and you were dealing with all the problems you're dealing now. How would you respond? How would you handle hardship? How would you handle all the things that are going on in your world if you didn't have Jesus? Hello? You would be a wreck. You would be an absolute mess. Right? How many of you have Jesus? Raise your hand. And do you feel different? I mean, you have the power of God. And your words carry power. So when somebody's cursing at you, when somebody's, you know, offending you or upsetting you, why don't you use the power that God has given you? Why don't you use your words to bless them? Why don't you use your words to actually witness to them? Why don't you use your words to encourage them? When somebody's being pessimist and they're being a pain and you're like, I wish they can just leave this office and I don't ever want to see them again. You know, why don't you just use your words to encourage them? You never know what they're going through. You never know if they're actually thinking about jumping off a bridge. You never know if they're actually thinking of, you know, going home and drinking some tablets and closing the chapter and forgetting about life because they're so depressed. You know how many people, millions of people are on antidepressants around the world? How many people have you met in your life that are taking anti-depression medicine? Hello? How many people have you met that are, that, you know, the world has different labels and different names for these folks? You know, the world calls them bipolar. The world calls them, you know, ACC. And I mean, not ACC. OCD and all these names and all these titles. But all they need is a touch from God. All they need is Jesus. And if you're like that because you've been hurt and you've been wounded because someone spoke something over your life and you haven't let go of that confession, you haven't let go of those words, and those words keep hurting you, and every time somebody talks to you or every time somebody makes that sound and you hear that sound and it irritates you and makes you angry, it's because the wound is still open. Hello? But the word of God can bring healing to your heart, my friend. The word of God can make you overcome the pain. The word of God can make you forgive. The word of God can help you forgive. Come on, church. The word of God can bring healing and can refresh your heart. And it doesn't matter how long it's been. It doesn't matter if your first marriage was a fiasco, if your second marriage fell apart. It doesn't matter what happened in the past, because what is in the past is in the past. Now you can move on and move forward, because you have Jesus walking alongside of you. Come on, church. It doesn't matter how bad and defeated and oppressed, you know, things happen in the past and things have been, you know, you already went through the storm and people have been speaking nasty things over your life and you're probably used to those words and you're probably, you know, on some people are like, they have like a shield, you know, they have a way to protect their emotions, so, and they go into that automated mood where if you're speaking something into their life and they feel offended, they immediately turn into anger. They immediately turn nasty. They immediately, you know, because they're hurt, they're wounded. They don't know how to deal with those emotions. But today you can come to the cross and you can surrender all your emotions and all your pain and all the frustration and everything that you've been dealing with for the past 20 years. And let me tell you something, if you have an encounter with God, it will be gone. Come on, church. It will be gone. It will be healed. You will feel like a feather after you have an encounter with Christ. All of that, all of those burdens and all of that affliction and pain will be gone. I met this a while ago. I met this lady who had, she was being tormented by demonic spirits. Comes 3:00, she would basically collapse, fall apart. She had been dealing with a generational curse for a long time. She hadn't realized, and she was living in denial. And at coming 3:00 every afternoon, the moment the clock strikes 3, she would just manifest and fall apart. Literally, she would have this huge headache, and that it will turn into a migraine, and this migraine will turn into pain, into the kind of pain that she would have to go lay down, and she would be bedridden for the rest of the day, and she couldn't get up, she couldn't do nothing, she couldn't do anything. She was depressed. She was living on tablets. She was a mess. Coming 3:00 every afternoon, she would be struck by this pain, by this sickness, whatever you call it. And I believe it was spiritual. I believe it was a demonic attack on her life. And coming 3:00, bang, bang, she would just fall apart. and we prayed for her, and God showed me that there was a generational curse, and we broke that. And let me tell you something, the moment she renounced that generational curse, she was set free, and the next day she experienced the power of God, and it was 3 o'clock and nothing happened that day. She was completely healed. She was completely restored, because Jesus can heal you. He's got the remedy. He's got the medicine that you need. Hello? You know, the sound of heaven brings healing. The sound of heaven can bring your miracle about. The sound of heaven created the universe. The sound of heaven can make you whole. The sound of heaven can make you free. The sound of heaven, you know, when Jesus walked in this world and he would just call out demons and demons would react and they would be like, hey, why did you come to torment me? And Jesus would rebuke them, cast them out, bind them and send them, you know. Remember those stories in the Bible? Remember when Jesus spoke, you know, when he prayed over the storm and there was peace? Remember how he used his words to bless people, to encourage people? Remember when the kids came to Jesus and the disciples were upset and they were trying to get, you know, the kids out and take him out of Jesus' presence? And Jesus said, let the kids come to me. He was a loving God and he's still a loving God. He used his words to always bless people. And the sound of his words brought healing, hope, and it brought life. Wherever he went, he would speak those words and healing would come to a place. I believe Jesus is in this house tonight, and the sound of his word will bring healing to your heart. The sound of his word will set you free, and the sound of his word will give you the hope that you lost a long time ago. There is hope in Jesus' name. I said there is hope in Jesus' name. The power of the blood of Jesus. You know, I went through a very difficult time when I was diagnosed with cancer. The doctors in Costa Rica, they were, you know, very concerned. I was the second child with this rare kind of cancer. The third child, sorry, the two that had it previously, they actually died. That year, they were doing a lot of research because this kind of cancer, it is right in between the lungs and the heart. It's a tumor. It's a cancerous tumor. And it's actually very close to one of the arteries. And I don't know the name. I can't remember the name right now. But it was a very, very difficult, very dangerous type of cancer. And let me tell you something. I would have doctors coming into my room, sometimes 8, 9 of them. They would surround my bed and they would have their notebooks and write notes and ask me questions. And it felt frightening. I was terrified. Their words, they were speaking all these things over my life, and I didn't know what to do. And one time my mom came into my room and she was so, you know, depressed, and she was crying and sobbing, and she hugged me, and I didn't know what was going on. I had no idea. Basically, the doctors were giving up on me. They were going to send me home, discharge me from the hospital after being in the hospital for 8 days, and because I had appendicitis before this, so I was operated of my appendix. They removed it. They, you know, and during this process, they checked me and they saw that tumor. And so they kept me in for a bit longer, you know. And my parents were concerned and everybody was concerned. Let me tell you something. My mom just hugged me that night and she cried and cried. And she said, I don't know what's going on, but, you know, I know Jesus is with us. And I told my mom, I said, what is impossible for man is possible for God. And I believe he's going to do a miracle. That's all I said. And we went home and I started praying and pressing in for 3 months, 3 consecutive months. Every night I would go into my room and pray and ask the Lord, God, you've given me a different word. You said that I was going to be preaching around the world. You said that you were going to use me around the world. Now the doctors are saying that I'm going to die. This is what the doctors are saying, but this is what you said. And I hold on to what you said. I believe what you said, because your words are powerful. And so I prayed and prayed and prayed and reminded myself of the promises of God while I was going through the darkest time in my life. And let me tell you something, his word and his promises kept me going. His word kept me going. There is only one thing in this world that will keep you going when you're facing the devil, when you're facing crisis, when you're facing the enemy, when you're facing the biggest storm in your life, and it is His word, my friend. His word will keep you going. Come on, church. His word will keep you strong. His word will sustain you. His word will hold you strong. His word will hold you together. His word will keep you sane. I said, His word will keep you sane. Because if you don't have His word, and if you're not reminded of His promises, the devil can turn a small storm into a huge hurricane. And the devil can turn something really small into this horrible storm. His word will keep you going. Let your neighbor know with a big Colgate smile, hey, I got good news for you, my friend. Come on, let your neighbor know. His word will keep you going. Come on, let your neighbor know. His word will keep you going. His word will keep you strong. His word will keep you in the right track. His word will protect you. His word will guard your destiny. His word will help you see better. His word will bring healing to your heart. His word will keep you going, my friend. Come on, church. His word is more than powerful. His word will make a way where there seems to be no way. His word will open the heavens. His word will split the Red Sea. His word will make fire come down from heaven. His word, His word, His word. Hallelujah. His word is more than powerful. All you need is His word. All I need is a word of God. All I need is a promise. All I need is the sound of heaven. If I can have His word, I know I'm going to be fine. And no matter what storm you're going through, the devil doesn't play fair. And you may have this attitude, oh, I'll be right. Hello? You know this kind of attitude, and many people have in this beautiful nation. She'll be right, mate. Hello? Have you heard of that? I'll be fine. Well, let me tell you something. The devil is like a dog. When he grabs that bone, he won't let that go. And he will keep chewing on that bone. And you may think, the past is behind you. You may think those words are forgotten. You may think, oh no, I'm okay. The devil has the bone in his mouth. He still has the bone. He hasn't let it go. But there is someone who I know and you know, and His name is Jesus Christ, He has overcome the enemy. He defeated Satan. Every time you mention, every time you plead the blood of Jesus, you know what He does? It terrifies the enemy. Every time you say the blood of Jesus, the enemy hates it, because it's a constant reminder that God is, He is alive. He is the greatest one. He has overcome the world. It's a constant reminder of His defeat on the cross. The enemy was defeated, and you have the victory. And so I prayed, and one day before going back to the doctors, I was in my room wearing my PJs. I was doing my prayer time. It was around 9 o'clock, and I got up, and I heard this sound. It was literally across the street. They were having church across the street. These churches are not soundproof. You can hear the praise and the worship from the comfort of your couch, from the comfort of your house. You can actually have church in your house, because you can hear the church and the preacher. These churches are not soundproof, so you can hear everything, right? And they love the Pentecostal sound. You know the Pentecostal sound? They turn up the volume and a few decibels, and you can hear everything. The whole town, the community can hear the sermon, you know. That night, everybody can hear what's going on in that church building. And so I was hearing the preacher, and I kept hearing, you know, what was going on. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to go to church tonight. And I said, God, you know, my mom, she has been upset. She has been, she hasn't gone to church in a while. She quit going to church, in fact. She quit going to church for like 3 months. And so I went to her and I said, Mom, can I go to church tonight? She's like, no, we're not going. And I said, but Mom, I believe God's going to do something really good tonight. No, we're not going. Go back to your bed. Go back to your bedroom. So I went into my bedroom and I prayed and I said, God, if you want me to go to church now, you're going to have to speak to her. You're going to have to get her attention, because I'm not going to be able to convince her. She is dead on, set on, she's not going to church. So there's nothing I can do. So I'm kneeling down, I'm praying, and 5 minutes later, I hear the knock. And it was my mom, and she had a rug. You know, she had this blanket. And she's like, all right, I'll take you to church as long as you promise me you will keep this blanket on you. Because it was raining, but it wasn't raining that bad. It was just like, you know, just like light rain. And it was cold. Costa Rican cold is 20 degrees. You know what I'm saying? That's Costa Rican cold. So when you go out and it's 20 degrees, people get their jackets out. They're like Queenslanders. They don't like the cold. You know, they just put on their jacket when it's 20 degrees. Here, cold is 2 degrees, 3 degrees. Praise God for that kind of... No, I'm kidding. How many of you thank God for that kind of cold? I don't think you do. Anyways, so it was 20 degrees, and okay, I'll put on the blanket, even though I looked ridiculous, and I went into the building, and I had the blanket on, you know, I looked like I just had, you know, just walked out of the streets or something like that, you know, I looked kind of like a homeless kid, you know, with that blanket on me, but anyways, the preacher saw me, and the preacher goes, hey, you little boy, the Lord says, and that's the sound of his word, the Lord says that your testimony is going to be heard around the world, and you are going to be healed tonight. He didn't know anything about me. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know my diagnosis, but God knew everything, and God released his word, and I took that word, and I received it, and I embraced it. You know what that is called? A prophetic word. And when that prophetic word was released, I embraced that word, and I was crying. My mom was also weeping. We were both touched by the Holy Ghost, and I could see her, you know, she was really touched by God. And I was like, yes, God, thank you, God, you did it tonight, awesome. So I went back home, and I prayed, got up the next morning, went to the doctor's appointment. They did the x-rays and everything else. 3 hours later, doctor comes out. He comes out with the biggest smile in his face that I've ever seen. And the first thing he says is, I don't understand what happened. I don't know. I mean, we checked the medical files. We checked his medical history. We checked everything. I mean, we did a lot of, obviously, they did a lot of, you know, medical rounds. I mean, they did a lot of these things, medic meetings and things like that. And the doctor's like, I have no idea what happened. But come into my office. So he escorts us into his office. We go into the office. He shows us the previous x-ray. And he shows us the new x-ray. And he says, there is no trace of cancer left in his lung. The tumor was gone. The tumor was removed. Oh. Oh, no. You better believe this. I'm telling you. God removed the tumor. God removed the tumor. It was gone. It was gone. And there was no trace left in my lung. Praise God. He healed me. I ran out of that office and I grabbed the first public phone. I called my parent, my mother's family, my grandma, my grandparents, because they were all praying for me. And I said, Jesus, heal me. And I was so happy. I started praying for the sick. The first miracle I saw happened when I was 15 years old. And I prayed for someone who had been in a wheelchair for 29 years. And I prayed for this lady, and I remember, I'll never forget it. You know that the words have power. And when you release those words and you pray in the spirit and you use the name of Jesus, you know that those words are gonna carry something. Those words are gonna do something. Those words are gonna remove the mountain. That's why Jesus said, if you have faith, and even if your faith is like the mustard seed, the moment you use your words and you declare those words and you speak those words are going to do amazing things. They're going to do miracles. They're going to remove the mountain. Use your words because God has given you power. Come on, church. And use those words in the way that you're meant to be using them. Love on your kids. Prophesy over your kids. Love on them and prophesy God's destiny over their life. You know, because God has given them a destiny. And your words are very powerful. And if you are wounded because of your parents' words, because they spoke really bad things about you, today you can be healed, you can forgive them, you can let it go, and you can break any generational curse, and it will be buried, it will be nailed to the cross. Come on, church. And you can walk out of this place free, healed, and you can have a new beginning. Are you ready to experience a new beginning in your life? Are you ready to have an encounter with God? Are you ready for the Lord to show you His plan for your family? Are you ready to use those words so that you can bless and build your kids and your family? Come on, church. Are you ready to actually speak those words of life? You know, my daughter, she's 5. And the other day she said, "Daddy, what's that book?" And I said, "Well, that's my book." And she's like, "Oh, can I have that book?" And I just felt in my spirit to give her my book, you know, my book. And I signed it. And I said, "Well, you know what? Here is a gift. And when you grow up, maybe you can read it with your friends. Maybe you can share it with your friends." And you know, she came up with this wonderful idea. I didn't. She came up with this wonderful idea. She said, "Daddy, can you read me your book during our bedtime story?" And I'm like, "Sure, I'll do that." So I'm reading her my own stories. I'm reading her my own testimonies. I'm reading her all the healings and miracles and things that God has allowed me to see in 20 years. And her faith is being built. Her faith is being boosted. And she's, you know, she's going through this season. You know, when they're 5 years old and they ask you why, you know, they just have that repetitive word in their vocabulary. They just ask why this and why that. So I'm reading this book and she's always asking me why this and why did you go there and how did this happen? And you know, and this is awesome. I am building her faith. The words that are printed, the printed words, because you have words everywhere. You have the printed words, that's in the Bible. You have the spoken words. You have words and you have the sound. You know, music is powerful. What happens when you walk into a room and the music is too loud and the sound of those words kind of disturb you? Hello? What happens in your mind? What happens in your brain? Are you relaxed? No. What happens, like, you know, what happens if you go into a place and they play the wrong music and the sound of those words are not appropriate for the occasion and you are not feeling comfortable? It's awkward, isn't it? But what about the words that bring peace and they bring healing? And when you walk into a place and the sound of these words just make you feel inspired? Tonight, if there is one thing I want you to come out of this meeting with, is God cares about you. He loves you deeply and He wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal your wounds. And if you have a father wound and you haven't let it go, come and surrender it. Come to Jesus and give Him the pain, and He will exchange that pain for joy. Close your eyes, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. We're going to have an encounter with God. Is that okay? Are you ready for an encounter with God? Are you ready for a healing? Are you ready for your breakthrough? Are you ready for God to do something in your life? Are you ready for God to heal the father's wound? And what is that? What is the father wound? What is that? I want to hear more about that. Well, those are the words that were spoken over your life when you were just a little kid and you haven't let go of those words. You haven't forgot those words. You still remember those words and you can still replay the same thing. It's like a movie that's never deleted. And it's in your hard drive, in your mind, in your heart. And you play it and play it. Well, you don't play it. The enemy plays it for you. He loves to play it. When you're feeling down and depressed and discouraged, the enemy comes and he hits the play button. And then all of a sudden you see yourself and you see your dad or you see your mom saying the same words that have affected you for 20, 30, 40 years and you haven't let go of those words. Can we let go of those words tonight? Do you want to nail those words to the cross? Come on, if you want to let go of those words, and if you want to forgive, and if you want a new beginning in your life, why don't you all stand up right now? Why don't you all give those words to Jesus? Why don't you all surrender to the Lord? And why don't you all just say, "Lord Jesus, here I am. Here is my heart. Here is my soul. Here is everything. I surrender everything." So can we all stand up, please? Oh, Jesus, we love you, we love you, we love you. And I want you to just pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. I'm going to pray for those who need healing. Hallelujah. How are we doing with time? Yeah. So if you need a healing tonight, if you need a miracle tonight, if you need healing in your heart tonight, I want to ask you to be open and transparent and surrender. If you need healing and you want to let go of the past, if you want to forgive and let go of those words, would you please come forward and I'm going to pray for you. Come on, don't be afraid. There is no shame in acknowledging what is going on in your life. There is no shame in acknowledging the pain that you have endured for such a long time. There is no shame in acknowledging those words. There is no shame. Come on, just come forward. There's no shame in letting go of the past. There is no shame in being open and saying, God, here I surrender my pain. Now, if you need a physical healing, if you need a physical miracle, would you also come forward? If you need a physical miracle, if you need healing in your body, if the doctor has given you a diagnosis and you're believing God for a miracle, would you please come forward as well? And I'm going to pray for you. So why don't we play this worship song? And we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to bring healing while I quickly pray for all of those who need a miracle right now. Is that okay? Why don't you just raise your hands? This is encounter night. And God is going to encounter you right there in the intimacy, in the solitude, in the worship, in this atmosphere. He's going to encounter you right there wherever you are. You don't have to come forward, and just close your eyes and say with me, Lord Jesus, I choose to let go of my pain. I choose to forgive. I choose to surrender these words. These words have caused a lot of pain over the years, but I choose to let go. I am free. I surrender my life. I surrender my heart. And I surrender all the pain that I have been carrying for years and years and years. I give it to you, Lord God. You are my Father. You are my Father. And I love you. I love you. And I choose to walk in freedom. Say with me, I choose to walk in freedom. And I break every generational curse upon my life, my family, and my children in Jesus' name.